This is not a goal-setting session, although you're going to be doing that. This is a goal-getting session. We are going to be doing some things this morning that I hope will help you to know how you can actually achieve goals. And some people hate to set goals. I don't blame you. It's not an easy process for a lot of folks. Your personality type is not such that lends itself towards that real easily. You are not a choleric in temperament quite often. Cholerics don't have much of a problem with being able to set goals, but sanguines do. Sometimes phlegmatics do, and melancholies hate it with a passion. My wife is a melancholy, and she says, I cannot stand to set goals. I can't even write down things to do on a list each day. I have difficulty with that, simply because if I don't get it all done like I plan to get it done, then I feel like I have failed. Even if I've gotten 17 out of 18 items on that list of things to do today done, if I don't get the 18th done, I'm a failure. That's exactly how I feel. That's how melancholies are. Okay? But she's begun to learn. She has. She's seen it actually work. It's effective. I made a decision in third grade that I would be an officer in the Air Force. Now, it seems to have worked out relatively well in my life. Let's just talk a little bit about some of the characteristics of goals. Just as kind of an introduction into actually being a workshop. Those are at least three of the important items that you need to be able to have in your goals to be able to make them function for you. If you make them too global, now your overall superordinate goal, like we talked about the other day, to be able to reflect the image of Christ, that's fine as a superordinate goal, as a global kind of a thing. That's the long-range plan that you're shooting for. That's okay. That's not all that specific. It's really not all that observable, is it? It can be. Okay, but you have to do other things to make it that way. Measurable? That's heavy. Now, how do you measure reflecting the image of Christ? Okay, so we're... that's okay. Question. So these characteristics of goals really get at those things that you're going to do to reach your superordinate goals. So what we're really talking about now are those sub-goals and objectives and then action plans that you will be developing here this morning. So we've got a superordinate goal. We talked about some sub-goals or objectives. The other night, and I'm going to flash those back up here on the board on the screen here just a little bit. Then you can have action plans. Now, action plans have some characteristics as well. And the best way, I think, to remember that is remember this word. Oats. Action plans have objectives. Those objectives lead towards the achievement of the sub-goals or other objectives, however you want. I put that there because some people don't like to use sub-goals. They prefer to use that term, and that's okay. This is what you would head up your goal sheet with. It has the specific actions, let's make that AC, that you intend to take in order to be able to achieve those objectives. You have a basic time schedule. And then you have a system of systematic checkup. So that as you go along, you don't just kind of do this in a vacuum. One of the nicest and easiest ways to avoid goal achievement is to tell nobody you intend to achieve anything. Because then when you don't do anything, you don't have to report in to somebody. And nobody's going to ask you, well, did you get that done today? Because you haven't told anybody. That's great. If that's what you really want to do, is not do anything. Okay. This is where we're going to be working today. Is on the action plans and on the oaths. Okay? Those kinds of things. And I'm going to help you with your systematic checkup. Because that three-part paper is going to be used to actually develop your own personal objective and oats plan, your specific actions. And then you're going to turn them back into me. I want you to, you'll keep the top copy for yourself so that you remember what you wrote down. And then after you turn that back into me, I'm going to tear off the bottom copy. And I'm going to give that to the leaders here. And they're going to distribute that to your team leaders. Now, some of you may feel like you don't have a team leader because you're a freshman group, but somebody will contact you if you don't contact them to help you with systematic checkup. And then I'm going to keep a copy myself. So if you all would like to write me a letter, let me know what you're doing and how you're doing it, or, hey, I'm fouling this up, I don't know where to get, and you're not getting enough time with your team leader and that sort of thing, I'm an alternate resource for you if that's what you want. Now, I'm a very effective writer. I write my parents at least once every 2 or 3 years. I'm so glad for the telephone. But I will commit myself to writing to whomever writes to me about their goals, and as quickly after I receive those letters as possible. So I'm an alternate resource, but it would be preferred that you go to your team leader who's right there, and you can talk face-to-face and talk things through. Okay? Now, we're going to go through a specific process. I'm going to teach you a specific process on your own sheet of paper, not the stuff that I handed out this morning or that got handed out to you, on how to deal with goals in your life overall in general. And then we're going to go into actually setting something up for yourself, okay? The first thing you need to do is to know how to do brainstorming. And here's some just basic rules. Let me read them to you. Don't be concerned with the quality of your brainstorming. Just write down anything and everything you can think about. Because what you're interested in is quantity, not quality, at this point. That's the first step. The second thing is don't criticize or cut out any idea. Even if it seems totally outlandish, that's okay. As far as the brainstorming session is concerned, that's okay, that's just fine. Free wheel, which simply means to write anything you can to think about it. If you think about it, write it down. Even if it doesn't relate initially with what you're thinking about in terms of goal setting, write it down anyhow. At least it gets it out of your mind and you can go on to get back on track with what you're doing. And the last thing is hitchhiking. That is simply letting one idea generate another idea. How many of you have ever done brainstorming? Good. Outstanding. That's good. We won't go through a little exercise on that then. What I want you to do is to take a sheet of paper, just a blank sheet of paper that you can just write on. And I want you to label it Lifetime Goals. And I want you to take about, let's take 1 minute. And I want you to brainstorm a list of potential goals, answering the question simply, what are my lifetime goals? And you can expect that at this particular point, they're going to be general and abstract. That's okay. I just want you to do it. And I'll time you. Go ahead and get started. Some of the areas that you might want to think about is family, social, career, financial, community, personal, spiritual, recreational, academic, athletic. Okay, stop.
take the back side of that sheet or the second or the bottom part of that if you want, if you've got enough room. I want you to label it how I want to spend the next 4 to 6 years. The next 4 to 6 years. And then brainstorm that. Okay, stop. Take a third sheet or the back side of that sheet or wherever you have some room. I want you to label it how I want to live the next 6 months. How I want to live the next 6 months. Take a minute to brainstorm that list. Okay, stop. Now I want you to just take a few moments. I want you to review each of those three lists. I'm going to give you 1 more minute to do all three lists, to take a look at them to see if there's something you'd like to add or subtract from on those lists, something you'd like to put down a little bit more, better clear text for yourself so you can remember for sure what it was you really meant by that because you did it in shorthand or something like that. Okay, you have another minute just to go over those three lists to see how those can be improved. Okay, stop. Now you need to be able to prioritize. I'm going to give you another minute in just a few moments to go back to each of the lists. And I want you to categorize. Now let me just share with you a way that I prioritize. I learned this. This wasn't something I thought of myself. It came from a book, Taking Charge of Your Time in Your Life. Whose name is that? I can't remember the guy's name who wrote that book. He is big in time management. It's a neat system for being able to teach you how to prioritize. If you've got a list of 18 things that you need to do in a day's time, this is stepping away from the goal thing we're doing right now. We'll move back to that in a second. What I do is I go back and I say, okay, that's an A item. And here's another A item.
down here I know there's not any item. A means it's got to be done today. If there's any way for me to do it today, I've got to get it done today. It's that important. Well, here's a B. Well, and here's a B also. And there's a C. B is the next most important, and C is the final area. I don't go any further than A, B, and C. That's how I categorize them. Then I come back up and say, of these A's, which is the most important? This one's the most important. This is second, and this is third. And of the B's, this is the most, and this is second most, and of course the C, no problem. Now I've got direction. The only thing that'll modify what I do is my time. Now, if I've only got 15 minutes before a meeting, but I've got nothing I really have to do between now and that time, this C item may only take me 10 minutes. And I'm right down the hall from the meeting, so I've got plenty of time to do that. So I may take that C item and go ahead and do it because I've got the time now, because this A item here takes 2 hours. I don't have 2 hours right now. I've got a meeting to go to. And if I get started, I'll just have to put it down and have to generate the whole thought process again. So how much time I have may dictate that I do a C item before I do an A item. Okay? But that's the only thing that will modify that. Normally, I'll take my A1 item, and I pick it up, and I will do it, and I won't put it down until I'm done. If it's at all possible, that's the best way to do that. Then I go on to A2 up here. And then A3. And then I pick up B1 and B2. That little simple system turned a major steel industry around from a deficit to an asset. Just that alone. That's all it was. That's the only intervening thing that the consultant did with the head of that particular steel industry. That can change your own life around just in terms of things getting accomplished. And see, this sort of thing here, yeah, that's a C item. That can be done tomorrow or the next day. But it may, by the third day, become a B or an A item too. Because there's a suspense, and my teacher says, hey, that paper's got to be in. It was a C item 2 months ago when we first started, but now it's tomorrow. It's an A1. Okay, so it's an all-nighter. Okay. So what I want you to do is to go back to your three lists, and I want you to prioritize just the top three things that you would like to do off of each list. Don't go any further than the top three off of each of the three lists. So you'll end up having 9 goals that you could shoot for. So you can prioritize them. A1, and I would just, you don't have to do this, but I would just say start getting in the habit right now of using the A1, 2, and 3, B1, 2, and 3, and that sort of thing, okay? So A1, 2, and 3 on each of the lists. Go ahead and get started. Stop. Now, take a look at those 9 items. Those 9 items ought to have fairly general agreement. If you're shooting for something down the road for a lifetime goal that what you're going to do in the next 4 to 6 months is not going to help, then you need to change either one of the two. You either change what you're going to do for a lifetime goal or you change what you're going to do right now. Because what you're doing now needs to lead to what you intend to become. Because it will. My background is psychology, and I did a lot of studying of some things that I would not use necessarily in any counseling that I do. But there's a few things, believe it or not, that even Freud said that I would agree with. Yeah, I know. Oh, no. And there's a lot of things I would not agree with, but one of the things he said was that the child is father of the man. There's a lot of truth in that,
what you are today has a tendency to help you know what you're going to become tomorrow. It doesn't always work out that way, because in that doesn't mean you can't change. It just simply means that you need to have your life in gear now, so that 10, 20 years from now, it's still in gear. You know, you haven't done it in reverse. So you want general agreement. Now what you need to do is to decide to take on only one of those goals from each of those lists. That's the maximum number you ought to be working on. And frankly, what I want you to do this morning is to action plan something that you can achieve in the next 4 to 6 months maximum, in less time than that, if possible, if you'd like. Okay? And you can develop then an action plan that will lead towards the one that's 4 to 6 years from now, which leads to towards your lifetime goals. Okay? If none of what you have there is what you want to have there in terms of what you'd really like to shoot for, just to remind you, this is the thing we talked about the other night. In terms of sub-goals, and there are lots of things that you can do in terms of these sub-goals, being able to experience His joy, learning how to be holy, being marked by truth, etc. And you may choose one of those if you do not wish to choose the ones that you have written down. I'm going to let you be the judge on that as to what you decide what you want to write down. Okay? Now, the action planning process answers several questions. Who, what, where, when, how, and if. In other words, and the if is the alternate. If something else, if one of these things doesn't work out, what do I do? Change it, or to move off into another direction. The who may involve not only you, but somebody else who's got to be involved in this process, who may have an impact on whether or not you're able to achieve this goal or not. It may be that one of the things that you want to do is just, and this is off of this and off of something else that you may have put down, I want to learn the process of teaching follow-up to somebody that I've just converted. Okay? Well, there's probably going to be somebody else involved in helping you to learn that process. Now, that who can be a real person who meets with you face to face on a weekly basis, or it could be a who in terms of whose books do you want to read? Francis Cosgrove, Leroy Ives, Walt Hendrickson, all have books on discipleship, follow-up, and that sort of thing. So what then becomes the objective? Not only do you have the objective at the top or the sub-goal at the top, but you have what things must I do? If it's follow-up again, it's I must buy these particular books, and I'm going to put a date by those, that the time that I'm going to buy that. I've got a budget. I know approximately how much I can afford, and by next month, I'll be able to buy this X book. Okay? And by 2 weeks into that month, I'll have read that book. Now, those are just ideas. Okay? Also, I will contact my team leader because that person happens to be somebody that I respect. It's an effective follow-up person. And I will, as soon as this meeting is over at lunchtime, I'm going to look that individual up if he's here. Or when I get back, I'll look the individual up. Where? Where is it going to take place? Well, I've got some ideas as to where I think it would be good for us to meet. Away from my room, away from my apartment, where that is, because I have too many distractors in there. We'll meet over in this part of the campus, or at his house, or her house, or whatever it is. When will it be done? How often? What kinds of things would I specifically like to tell that individual I would like to have him or her help me with? Now, that person may come up with some other alternate ideas and some additional things that would be useful in addition to what you have to share. But have an idea in your own mind what you want. Okay? And then how would you like to have it done? Strictly by face-to-face confrontation? Strictly by reading books? A combination of the two? Going to conferences? Making sure that you choose those workshops that deal with the basics? Because the basics are important in follow-up, etc. And then, now if, the if is, what if I can't make the next conference and I know it's coming up 6 months from now? What's my alternate plan during that time? Hey, I know my folks want me to come home. I'll go home, but I'll take X book with me. Or I'll take some Bible studies along this line with me. Am I giving you a clear idea of what I'm looking for? If you've got some questions at this point, okay. Okay. Some things that you need to remember about goal setting before you actually get into the process of doing it. Yes, thanks.
Personality comes into it. I'm teaching you a process, and that's all. Because I can't teach you your personality. But you've got to bring in the process, the personality part of the process. And you can do that. If there's a step in the plan that I'm telling you to do that you don't like, don't do it. If there's some things that you would prefer to do or add on to that I haven't talked about, first of all, it'd be useful just to share it to the group because other people may be feeling that way too. And secondly, just do it if you want to. If you don't even want to do the goal setting process, that's fine too. You know, that's where your personality comes into play. Also, the emotionality, the subjectiveness, comes in afterwards when you start working on the plan that you've developed. And let me say at the outset, do not let your plan run you. You run the plan, because it's your plan. And I say this preaching to myself, because I'm the kind of individual, and it used to be a whole lot worse, but God's taught me a lot of things in this area. When I would set up a schedule, I didn't want an interruption. And if somebody came into my office with an interruption, I got upset and angry at that person. What are you doing messing up my schedule? I don't mean this. So what if your mother died? I don't want to hear about it. It wasn't that bad, folks, but I could get angry after day. People walked into my office and messed over my schedule. Because I had learned to let the schedule run me. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Plans and schedules and goals, etc., are the same way. It's a technique for you to use, but don't let it run you. Commit yourself to it, but you know, if something's going to bog you down, drop it, be flexible with it. If you set up an unrealistic time schedule, change it. It's okay. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. I just want to give some practical questions. Not actually after the class, because to my mind, I think when students have a question, very logical, it's a question. I'm glad if you can have an extensive moment or some time to answer some questions. Not on actually on your basis, but to see you.
Right here, that's why I said if anybody got any questions, let's ask them.
Right, so
fine.
So that means that. Now, the things are going on in your mind.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it's in my mind. But the things are going on, and sometimes you forget ideas again.
Okay. Sure, and I agree. Anybody, if you've got any questions or things that you'd like to have amplified or some disagreements you'd like to talk about or some things that you've found in your own life that are helpful, this is the time to do that.
But what kind of concrete
suggestions that, or observations that you had in different different temperament types that would help these approaches, this attempt to get things done in life, be something that they're motivated by rather than something they're frustrated by? Because I know I, when I present this, and talking in terms of the mere terms, frustrate people, ministers in grassroots, to young ones who are basically melancholy, phlegmatic, and just the mentioning of these things cause her to feel like a failure.
That's right. I understand
and
that.
So communication of these things and helping them to see it, what kind of clues can you give us?
I'll give you a couple. One thing is, don't expect everybody to do it. It's a nice process. It can work if you're able to do it, and that gets in at the subjective level. Some people simply will not do it, and if they do it, they'll only come away feeling like failures. I would just assume they did not do the goal setting process as to feel that way. But if you've got somebody who's at least willing to try some things, then what I normally do is I say, I want you to tell me what are the things you enjoy doing most in life. And that's all. Just tell me what it is that you're doing most in life. One individual, she really enjoys making dresses. I mean, that just really turns her on. She just loves it. Okay? I said, okay, would you tell me how you make a dress? I have no idea. I mean, I'm all thumbs when it comes to that kind of stuff. I have no idea. I can't even thread a needle easily. Anyway, I said, how do you do that? She says, well, the first thing you got to do is you got to buy a pattern. A pattern. Okay. Do you have a pattern? Yeah. Can you show me one? Sure. Okay, so she takes the pattern out, and I say, okay, that's a nice little pamphlet. What's in there? She takes out all the pieces of the puzzle. And I said, what do you do with that? That stuff's got Greek on there for me. And it's got lines and dots and little funny symbols, and I don't understand. What does that mean? And so the individual shared with me what those things meant. I said, now, that's pretty flimsy paper. You can tear it pretty easily. How in the world do you use it? Do you draw on it? No, you don't draw on it. You put it on a piece of fabric. What's for? Well, because so you can cut around it. What I did is I led her through the goal setting and goal achievement action planning process that she does all the time. Only it happened to be in an area that she liked doing. She didn't think of it as goal setting. The goal was to make the dress. The action plan was to have the patterns there, to know that you've got to have stuff on top of it that you cut around, to know that you can... I said, well, what if you don't have enough? Or how, if it doesn't fit, all pieces don't fit together. She said, well, you just move the pieces around a lot until you get it to fit into the material you have. You can be that flexible? I said, that's how you can be flexible with a goal setting plan, too.
You do that same thing in parallel architecture.
Sure. You bet. And you take anybody's life, and they're going to have things they like to do. Hey, I don't like to do goal setting, but I sure like working on my car. I don't like to do goal setting, but I love to jog. Every single person who operates in life at all, besides being a vegetable, goal sets. They may not write it down in a mechanical process, but they have to think it through to get from A to Z somehow. Now, there are some people who will skip steps and get there anyway. Okay? Those are circuitous or circular thinkers. Those can be frustrating people for logic-oriented, lockstep kinds of people who are like computer systems that go from A1 to V2 to, you know, right down. You don't skip a step. You don't do that. But, see, there's lots of people who are very, very creative folks who go from A to Z, and they didn't go through any of the logic steps. Let me give you a good example of that. And by the way, I don't care if we get this thing done or not. If you know the process now, you can do it later on. Because I think what we're talking about is extremely important. There was an individual who got himself into a jam. His jam was that he had co-signed a note for $100,000 with his brother-in-law, who defaulted when he still had $95,000 left to pay. And this guy had no way to pay it. None. Now, he was a scientific individual, but he didn't have any interest in certain areas of science. Well, he was riding down the road, and he was watching birds fly, and very analytical kind of a thinker. When he remembered reading an article that said that there was a guy named Kremer in England who offered a prize of $100,000 to whomever could build the first man-powered airplane to fly across the English Channel. This guy said, you know, I need $100,000. I think I'll build one of those. The guy had no background in aerodynamics, in structure, in mechanical drawing. I mean, nothing at all. But his goal was to build a man-powered airplane that would fly. Ever heard of the Gossamer Wing or the Gossamer Albatross? That's the guy. He built it out of no expertise, using people who had very little expertise in various areas. And he built that. He also built a solar-powered aircraft. He also built an aircraft that could be used. It's amazing to see this thing operate. It's got a gigantic 95-foot wingspan, a gigantic propeller on it that you can see turn every revolution. And it's just amazing to watch it. And it actually flies. You know? And there's a little guy in there who pedals this thing. Well, the point is he had a very definite goal. He had no idea of how to get there, and he made it anyhow. The goal-setting process is not just a mechanical process. You've got to have some motivation and desire to see things happen in your life. And then you just set about going through whatever process you go through, whether it's sitting down, writing down, developing a step-by-step process, if that's what you're comfortable with, or it's up here. I want to become a man of God. I want to be able at least to do these sorts of things. Now, how do I do it? Who do I need to contact? And you may be a circular thinker. You may not go through all the prioritization, all the time schedules type things that a lockstep thinker will go through and feel comfortable with. That's why I gave you the lockstep approach, because you can change that, modify it, fit it to your personality. But if I didn't give you that, you have nothing to change or modify or fit to your personality. So I had to give you at least the structure, and then you can go from there. If this guy had done what everybody else had tried to do, he'd have never made the Gossamer Albatross. Never done that. Because he did things that aren't supposed to be able to be done. Trial and error, a lot of things like that. He saw some of the original prototypes of things that people had done, experts in the field of aerodynamics, aeronautics. And what did they build? They built light aircraft that could get it off the ground about 15 feet before it wiped the person out who was trying to pedal it because it was too heavy. Okay. So don't always think. That's another thing. Don't always think that people are going to go through a lockstep process. But everybody sets goals. They just sometimes don't think of it that way. Hey, use different terms. If they're not comfortable with the term goal, don't use goal. Find out what it is they want to do and use that term. Making dresses. Fixing cars, running. Just use those terms and teach them the goal process.
Okay, you said that our goals might be real vague. I've noticed that's real true in mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just don't even know where to begin.
That's where the action plan comes in. It's okay to be somewhat, in the higher areas of goals, to be somewhat vague. But then you have to decide, what in the world does that mean to me? What are at least some aspects that I can sink my teeth into that I can see? For instance, we use the spiritual thing of, I want to be a man of God. Well, what does that mean to me? That's pretty general. What's at least one thing that I know that I can do that will help me move in that direction? I can memorize scripture. Is that observable? Is that measurable? Sure it is. Is it specific? You bet it is. You can get more specific. What am I going to memorize? Well, let me challenge you. Memorize, every one of you in here ought to memorize, it's going to be the hardest thing you'll ever do, not memorization, but memorization is hard enough as it is. Memorize chapter 6 of Romans and the first 15 verses of chapter 8. That's not new with me. Got from Bill Gothard, quite frankly. But I'll tell you what, Satan does not want you to memorize those verses. He will work overtime to not memorize those specific verses. Why do you think that's true? Because those are the keys to overcome sin in your life. I got some advice, and I didn't think it was very good after I tried it. Some people said, hey, if you've got a problem with anger, memorize verses on anger. And so when you start feeling angry, you can repeat those verses. I found out that when I did that, I became angry. Why? Because as I was speaking the verses I had memorized on anger, I was focusing on anger. The very thing I didn't want to focus on. But chapter 6 of Romans and the first 15 verses of chapter 8 deal with our position in Christ, what I'm able to do. It deals with my will and what I'm able to make decisions about. It is not specific in dealing with a particular kind of sin. It just says, you don't have to do sin. What shall we say then? Are we going sinning to the great banquet? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? And so I say to myself, hey, I died to that. Jesus Christ died for that. I died vicariously with him. How come I got to continue to do it? I don't have to. Now, God also promised he's going to give me a way to escape. Where's the road? Show me the pathway. And I move off in that direction. Hey, folks, sometimes I sin. But I got one memorized for that, too. 1 John 1:9. And so I keep short accounts with God. And I always remember, God loves me anyhow. Okay. Yes?
How do you cope with failure? Like, you go through it systematically, you know, step by step, and I'll fall short of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I said goes, and I'll fall short of it. And, you know, I have this deep failure, and I don't want to set any more goals.
You know, the first thing I do is I say, thanks, God. I praise your name for allowing me to fail. Man, I either overdid something, or I wasn't listening closely enough to you, or you designed it, helped me to design this particular goal-setting process so I would fail, so I would learn what it is you want me to learn. God, I'm not sure if I understand exactly what you want me to learn, but I'll tell you right now, I'm here to learn it. And my joy is in Jesus Christ. My joy does not come by achieving goals. Do I like to achieve goals? Sure I do. I enjoy that. Feels good. My joy is not dependent on goal achievement. My joy is dependent on Jesus Christ and my relationship to Him. So I thank God for the failures I have in life. In fact, I hope you never stop having failures in life. Because that's the only thing that keeps you close to God. Man, if you can do it all yourself, what are you going to say? What do I need you for? I got it made. In fact, that's what makes it difficult to reach people who have been successful in life. What do I need God for? I've made it all. Okay, so don't hate failure. Build on it. Learn from it. What made me fail? How can I avoid that in the future? Spend a lot of time in prayer over it. Okay? Another question back here. That was it? Okay, good.
How can you be sure that your goal that you set is one that God wants you to have?
You can't be, totally, unless you know it comes out of Scripture. Then you know for sure. Okay? So, and a lot of times things don't come out of Scripture, you know, like being able to get this particular job done in the Air Force or at the house. I just simply have faith that I'm working with God. The reason I keep short accounts is so that I can be an open channel to receive God's advice. And He does speak through my mind. It says so in 2 Chronicles. It talks about David speaking to his son Solomon. And the things that God put in David's mind, He passed on to his son. But God can speak to me through my mind, through my heart, through other people. And so what I do is I make the assumption that if I'm in God's, if I'm walking with God, if I've got the Holy Spirit running my life as much as I can possibly do that, then the decisions I'm making are the decisions He wants me to make. And if not, at least I'm open to being able to change that. It's always easier to change the direction of a moving object. And one of the things that stymies people from being able to achieve goals is they sit on their can and don't go anywhere. I'm not sure what direction I'm looking for. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. I'm not sure what God wants me to do. So what I do is I design something. I say, I think this is what God wants me to do, and I move off in that direction. Totally open. He says in Proverbs that I plan my life and God orders my steps. And so what I do is I plan, I start to move off, and God says, not there, friend. Close that door. That's how. A lot of times it's just trial and error.
In this process, there's an assumption that there's self-motivation. Therefore, I can have these goals that are motivated to reach. But of course, looking at temperaments, there's some that are very self-motivated. Very, very, very unself-motivated. You know, at least they're motivated in other areas.
Well, accountability will help. It's a kind of a negative motivator, actually. Accountability is, to a certain extent. You know, some people just don't like to go telling folks, I'm going to get this done. Because then I got to go and tell them I didn't do it. But you bring up a very good point, and I hadn't even written it down in my notes, and I just did, though, because it's extremely important. It's called a reward system. And you need to have a reward system, not just the end result of the goal. The reward system has to be every step of the way. There's got to be some reward for you. We don't continue behavior that's not rewarded. Somehow, that behavior is rewarded. Inside or outside, it's rewarded. Otherwise, it's extinguished. If there is no reward. By the way, punishment does not extinguish behavior. It only suppresses it. That's why we deal with rewards. I learned to teach my children how to do certain things. They were little kids. How to do certain things, like make their bed or hold their fork properly and that sort of thing. So we had a very, very detailed reward system for it. Every time they did something right, they got a particular reward for that item. And I won't go into the difference in the whole system because it was relatively complicated in terms of what we did. But in fairly short order, my kids learned how to do those things because they were rewarded for it. It wasn't a bribery. Bribery says, I give you the money now for you to do this behavior. Reward says, you do the behavior, I'll give you the reward. Okay? So you have to find out what's rewarding for you. If rewarding for you to be able to, say, write a paper that you have said is a thing that you need to have done by X time, and the reward for you is to be able to go out and run 10 miles because you love to do that. Some people do love to do that. Then that's your reward for doing that. If you know that the process is going to take a week to get that paper done, because you've got to do research, you've got to write your note cards if you use that system, and then I've got to write a draft, and I've got to type the thing, then each step of the way, what am I going to do to reward myself after I've done the research? What? Yeah, okay, answer. Or a candy bar. Or a walk out in the park with a friend of mine. Whatever it is. The only thing that's going to be difficult is making sure that you don't give yourself the reward just because you want it and you haven't done anything for it. Okay? But the reward system is how to be able to maintain that behavior, and you have to use it on an intermittent basis, not on just looking at the long-range goal of eternal life.
Do you recommend rewarding yourself or having someone who's holding you accountable reward?
Either way, both be fine, but you can reward yourself. And don't have to be a big deal. It can be a candy bar. It can be a going down to Baskin Robbins. It can be a Coke. It can be a sack of peanuts or whatever it is that you happen to really thoroughly enjoy. See, what are you hooked on? See, I'm hooked on nuts. And so I can use nuts as a reward system for me. Every time I write a sentence, I did nut. Right, so push that bell and I salivate. Now, you know, it's 11 o'clock. I was given till 11 o'clock. You have not designed any of your goals or your action plans or anything like that. I'm going to make you a deal. If you want to do that, it's not a requirement. I'm going to be back here this coming Friday. And if you would like to actually design those goals and have an accountability system and have me have a copy of those or just talk about them, meet me here at 10 o'clock on Friday. And at least just give it to me. Make sure you put your name on it now. It'll be hard to get to you without the name. Okay? And we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thanks for the fun this morning. I just really appreciate this particular group of people. So responsive and so energizing to me. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to feel good, even though I don't feel good, because of this group of people who have ministered to me this morning. I just really appreciate that. You're such a loving God, and you just do so many things unexpectedly, in a way that's not expected by any of us. Lord, I pray that this particular process can be made malleable in the minds and the hearts and the personalities of the people here. And no one here will feel the necessity of going through a lockstep approach if that's not their approach to life. That whatever approach is germane to them, you will help them to design the goal-making and goal-getting process that you would like to have them have in their lives so that they can become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.